We always have new people, whether they're online or here in person, and sometimes we have more than one, and so if you're new, you're not the only one. Even if you're not new, you haven't necessarily been tracking with us over the last number of weeks, so let me try and bring you up to speed as briefly as I can. In the last number of weeks, what we've been doing is focusing on what the scriptures tell us about the voice of God. I take it as axiomatic that God speaks to us through scripture, that it is the word of God. But then the scriptures also speak about the ways God speaks to us outside of his word, directly, personally, with words that you wouldn't have been able to find in scripture, and so on. And so that's what we've been covering over the last number of weeks. We've been focusing primarily on the still small voice. And then last week we took a detour. We interrupted our regularly scheduled program because God interrupted something in my life. And as you know, as we shared last week, I've had back pain for 11 years. When I was living in Vancouver, I told myself it was the bed, and then it was my school schedule, and then it was just something else, and I was going to the chiropractor, I was going to massage, physio. I didn't do acupuncture, but the physio did the needles thing, and if you know me at all, you know how much I hate needles. I can faint with needles, so that has nothing to do with the camp thing, though. Ignore that comment. I've had back pain for 11 years, every single night. The muscles in my back get tighter and tighter and tighter the longer that I'm in bed, so that by the time I get out of bed in the morning, I feel like I've been beaten up. Like, I'm not talking about a little bit of back pain. I'm talking about every night I don't get enough sleep because I feel beaten. There have been times where I've been absolutely exhausted but still had to get out of bed because I couldn't physically stand the pain anymore. And maybe you might not have known the degree to which I've gone through that, because frankly, I didn't bother sharing it because I wasn't getting any help with it. And I've appreciated many of you who've prayed for me, and I thank you for that. And so we interrupted our regularly scheduled program last week because God interrupted my life. And so I brought my son up here on stage, and he shared about how God spoke to him audibly and told him to start praying for my back. And then gave him a dream, and then gave him a vision, and then there were more words, and it's like, God, I'm doing a series that's focused on the still small voice, and you didn't use the still small voice, you used every other type of voice. And we shared that story last week, and by the end of that story, where we'd gotten to was that God had healed my back about 50%. And I shared with you that I felt like the blind man that Jesus heals in two stages, where the first one he touches him, and then Jesus says to the blind man, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see men, but they look like trees walking." And then Jesus touches his eyes again, and he's fully healed. And I said at the end of last week's message that I feel like I'm between touch one and touch two. And as we shared that story last week, it was very much a story of both faith and then doubt, of going back and forth between those two things. It was a story about kids hearing the voice of God. So as we talk, this isn't just for special people like Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us, Scripture says. The whole point of that statement is that Elijah, you can have what Elijah had. Elijah was a man just like us. So when he prayed, something happened. And when you pray, something can happen. When he heard something, the same can be for you as well. And so we shared that story last week, and then the story continued. So Sunday night, Marcus, do you want to come up? We're going to finish the story here. I'd shared with you that, why don't you have a seat here, buddy? You can take off your mask. We're a cohort. You'll take that in a second, okay? So I'd shared in the story that as much as Marcus was hearing and sharing with me what he was hearing about God wanting to heal my back and then having healed my back, he a number of times came to me and said, "You're still doubting. God says you're still doubting. And that came out even on Sunday night last night as we were praying, after we'd shared the story. And so what did he tell you?
There's still a small seed of doubt.
Still a small seed of doubt in your daddy, right? And I'm like, Marcus, we've been through this over and over again. I cannot find any doubt. What are you talking about? And then what did he say?
You're doubting my desire to heal.
Okay, but he told you about what, how he was going to talk to you more about it, right?
He said he'd give me a vision.
He said he'd give you a vision. And I'm like, you're going to give him a vision, Lord, of my back. You realize I'm doing a series on the still small voice, right? Apparently God isn't respecting what I'm doing here, and that's okay. But he said he's going to give you a vision. And so what's going through my mind is like, and as I'm reflecting on it afterwards, it's like, Ben, you've been saying that we should be expecting to hear God in the same ways that he speaks in scripture. And he has been. So I put Marcus to bed that night, and I get out my journal and I'm like, God, I don't understand this. How am I doubting? Where is it? Like, search me. And so, you know, as Megan led us in prayer here just a moment ago, it was a prayer of search me, oh God. And that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm praying. Like, search me. Because I'm blind to my blind spots, as I've said here many, many times, right? By definition, we're blind to our blind spots. We don't see them. And Lord, I need your help with this. And I think I hear, and as I've said before, when I hear, it's nothing like the way he's hearing. It's like the impression of a word. It's that faint. It's that easily dismissed. So when I say I hear, that's what I mean. And what I think I heard was, you're doubting my goodness. I'd been journaling about how, Lord, I want my second touch. And what I thought I heard after that was, you're doubting my goodness. And I realized I am. I'm doubting whether or not you actually want to do the second touch or whether I've missed my chance. And I had to confess that. So I confessed that, turned out the light, fell asleep, had a great sleep that night. No pain. No pain. Wake up in the morning, and I see Marcus, and we skip all of the preamble of good morning, how was your sleep? I'm just like, Marcus, what was your vision? And what did he say? You gave me the message of the vision.
Yeah, because I wrote it down.
Yeah, and what was it?
I was sleeping, and then I felt, what's it?
This is completely unrehearsed.
So I saw it. Like, before I went to bed, I heard, open up the door a little. So I walked over to the door, and I opened it up a little. Then I heard, open it up more so someone can walk in. So I opened it up even more. Then I went to bed. I woke up again, and I saw some sort of black shape walk in through the door into my bed. I didn't know what it was, so then I asked him. He told me to close my eyes and imagine that shape. I imagined it and I saw the rest of the details. It was, I saw an angel there, and it sat on my bed and told me that your dad is doubting my goodness. No.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he shared this with me in the morning, and it confirmed what I had already heard. It was essentially the same word. And then the next couple of days, every once in a while, there'd be a twinge of pain. And it was like God was testing me. Like, once again, as I shared with you last week, there's a testing that can come with some of these things, like Peter walking on the water, and he's got to keep his eyes on Jesus. And so every time I felt something, I'd say, Lord, thank you for my healing. Thank you. It's gone, friends. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I can't believe it, because that would be doubt, right? It's just blown me away. 11 years of back pain are gone. And I was able to garden yesterday, and I just feel like I gardened. I don't feel beat up. And I'm just so grateful to God that he's working and that he's speaking. So do you have anything else to share? No? Then thanks for sharing. You can go have a seat. Thanks, buddy. The story's over, or the story goes on, I suppose, but the back pain is gone. Let me just remind you of some, and draw out a few implications from that story as we continue on with our talk about listening to the voice of God. We should be expecting God to speak the way that he speaks in Scripture. He didn't draw a line at the end of Scripture and say, no longer do I speak in this way, here's a book. The book is there to help us see all of the different ways that he continues to speak and then to evaluate what we are hearing and so on. We'll talk about filtering later on. I've promised that we will get to it. But we should be expecting God to speak in the ways he has always spoken. In fact, we should be expecting these kinds of things. It's Acts 2. Acts 2 quotes Joel 2 and says, in the last days, your sons and your daughters, 11 years old, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Prophecy is simply hearing what God has said and repeating it to other people. It's happening. But I want to encourage you that we listen to God not simply for our own emotional boosts, as great as that is, and as much as we do need that. We're talking about a God who wants to work in our world. And here's an example of that, where God shared something with someone that changed something else, right? God wants to change our world, and he wants to do it through you. So it's not just for the pastor's family. I really do want to emphasize that, because that's what Acts 2 says. This is for everyone. And Acts 2 goes through sort of the lowest of the low, the highest of the high, the lowest of the low, the men, the women, the young, the old, even the slaves. On the slaves I will pour. You know how low a slave is in Roman society? I'll pour it out on everyone. You're all eligible for this, is what Acts 2 says. It's for you. And I want to go back once again to more scriptures. So if you haven't been with us over the last number of weeks, I've been showing you week after week after week from the scriptures that God says he is going to be speaking to his people in an ongoing way. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says in John 10. Hebrews 12 says, make sure you're paying attention to, don't ignore the God who is currently speaking to you. So we've been going through scriptures week after week, and I want to show you some more so that you are seeing this, so you don't have to take it from the guy with the microphone on the stage. Okay? Go back to the scriptures and see it for yourself, and I want to share a few more with you. So here we are. I want to share three scriptures that are all using the same word. Psalm 25 says, the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. Next verse says in Proverbs 3:32, for the perverse is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the righteous. Amos 3:7 says, for the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. I underlined the same word three times. It took me a long time to find three English translations that would use the word secret in each one of them, because it gets translated differently, and I'll explain that in just a moment. The Hebrew word that is in all three of these verses is the Hebrew word, you'd pronounce it sod, or if you're an ancient Hebrew, they'd pronounce it soth. But anyway, not that that's going to make a difference to your life, but it's the same word in all of them. And this is a word that has to do with conversation. It's a conversational word. And so this word gets used in the Proverbs, for example, in other places in Proverbs, of gossips who share secrets. It's a conversational word. It gets used in other places in the Hebrew scriptures of when the elders or the leaders will meet together to plan something in secret, to plan. They're holding a council together, but they're taking counsel within their council. You know, council, C-O-N-S-E-L, council meaning a discussion or advice, you know, that kind of thing. But these three verses here talk about how God himself has secrets that he wants to share with those who love him, with those who fear him, with those who are righteous, with those who are his servants, the prophets. This is for you, my friends. Once again, it's a conversational word. Now, you are going to find that translations will, oftentimes they will translate this word in those verses. If you open up your Bible, you're going to see that some of the translations will translate it either friendship or intimacy. The intimacy of the Lord is for those who fear him, or the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. And that's an okay interpretation of the word, as long as you understand that it's a conversational word. That friends talk, friends share secrets. That the whole point of using that Hebrew word is because it carries with it the idea of conversation. It's not just that we're intimate in that we're really close, like we really love one another. It's no, because we're close and because we're friends, we talk. We talk, and those verses are sharing that it's God who's doing the talking. To us, he has things that he wants to tell you. Do we have ears for it? It's the question. The things that we hear from God are an invitation into friendship, which means we should expect what we hear from God to start or continue a conversation. God wants to share things, but he wants to start a conversation with you. Let me give you just an example, something from my life. Back in maybe January, February, as I was just starting to learn about listening for God, and that he actually does want to speak in these ways, as the scriptures say. One time I was driving home from the church back home, and I was about halfway there, and I said, Lord, you know, is there anything that you want to say to me as I'm going home? And, you know, I got to be put my dad hat on and my husband hat on, and you know, be ready and present, be there to be present and with the family and so on. Like, Lord, is there anything you want to share? And once again, I heard, and now you understand what I mean by heard. It was like a hint. It's so faint. I hear COVID. I'm like, huh? I hear COVID-19. God has a sense of humor. COVID-19. Then I hear COVID-19, Marcus's class. And I pull up to my house and I go inside and I drop my bag and I go find Marcus. I'm like, is there COVID in your class? What's going on? And he's like, yeah, you know, I just found out that one of the students, their family's got COVID. He's students now home. And, so I just pulled Marcus from school right away. Pulled him right away, called the school, said he's not going to be in tomorrow. And I planned to work from home the next day. Sent Silas, because it wasn't really, the word wasn't for Silas's class. When I called the school, I called them the next day. I had already made the plans. I'd already dropped Silas off at school. I'd forgotten to call the school. Marcus is with me, so I called the school. School's already started. And the person who picks up the phone says, oh, why is he staying home? And I'm like, well, I heard there's some COVID going on in his class. And the person on the other end of the line says, well, yeah, but we got those test results back. They're negative. They're just isolating because they have symptoms. They have to. And I thought, huh. Now I'm really confused. Because I didn't understand at that point that it's the start of a conversation. And if I'd spent more time listening and praying and asking God for, what was that all about, God? Now, looking back, it's very clear. It was an invitation to continue the conversation and pray for that family. But I didn't recognize that at the time. So I interpreted it wrong. Heard right, interpreted wrong. These things happen. But God is schooling us. He's training us in how to listen, how to respond, what's the reason that he's initiating a conversation. It's for the conversation. It's because he wants to do something in the world, even if that means praying for your kids' classmates and their family. God wants to do something in the world. He talked to Marcus because he wanted to do something in my life. Could have done that directly, right? But God invites us into conversation in order that he might then invite us into action wherever it is in the world. So I'm really motivated to continue and to try to help us lean into listening to God, because there are implications of it that go far beyond just my personal walk with God. I'm currently feeling the implications in my back, right? Imagine what he would want to do in the world. God wants to change a city. So, I mean, dream with me for just a moment. Like, if we started listening to God, what would he share with you based on those scriptures? If we simply claim these scriptures before God and say, Lord, I agree. I want to be someone who fears you in order that I might hear your voice and receive your counsel, receive the secrets that it is that you want to share. I want to be someone who is righteous in order that I might hear your voice. I want to be someone whom you can trust like the prophets, in order that I might be a part of what you are doing in the world right now. This is what's on offer. So, I mean, who else would get healed if someone else started listening? That's the implication of the story. That's the implication of the scriptures here. What marriages would get fixed? What addictions would get fixed if someone started listening to God and asking him for the secret that they don't currently have right now? What else would God do? Maybe you're looking for a job and you start asking, Lord, like, Lord, where should I apply for work? Or how do I pray for my friend? Or, I mean, think about, do you remember Jordan? Pastor Jordan was up here a number of weeks ago from Crossroads, and he was sharing a story about how his house had been robbed and they had lost one of the things that was most precious to them. He talked about a little backup drive that had their wedding pictures on it and his wife Julie's, all of her school notes and lectures and all that. They were so choked that this had been stolen. And it's a small thing. It's a tiny thing, first of all, but it meant a lot to them, and they couldn't find it. They're going to pawn shops and all of this stuff. And he listens and has an impression from the Lord that says, go and look in the forest. And what does he find? They got it back, right? What are the implications of starting to listen and take a few risks and follow up on what we think we're hearing from the Lord? Recover your stolen property. How cool is that? After lunch, we're going to have listening prayer time. But the listening prayer time isn't simply going to be about spending an hour in silence. The point of the listening prayer time is that we're going to learn better how to listen. And some different people are going to share their experiences of listening, because I can only share my experiences. And we're going to practice it together. So it's going to be part teaching time, part practice time, but it's going to be very practical. And so if you want to go grab Wendy's and then come back and at 1 o'clock, bring your Wendy's back here. It doesn't matter to me. But we're going to have this time at 1 o'clock this afternoon. I am going to do it over Zoom. I hadn't planned on doing that. We hadn't announced that we were going to do it, but based on the way that the COVID and so on has gone, if you want the link to that Zoom session, please text me or email me before the start of that, and I'll set it up so that you can actually get it. So if you're at home online right now and you want to join that from home, you're welcome to do so, but please let me know. I'm not just going to mass email it out to everyone. So let me know, and I will include you in it so that we can do it together. I'd mentioned that we will talk about filtering, and I promise we will. We will go through how what you are hearing relates to Scripture, how it relates to the community, how it relates to the Holy Spirit and the sort of the relationship between them and so on. We will get there. But too often, filtering too soon can actually disrupt the conversation. If you're sitting in silence and you hear go left or call your friend or something like that, and I guess you wouldn't hear go left if you're sitting, but you know, if you're driving and you hear go left or something like that, if you say too quickly, God, is that you? That very much disrupts the conversation, and it inserts doubt too soon. There is a place and a time to filter, but you can filter after you've had some of the conversation, after you've listened a little bit more. I mean, obviously, if it's sinful, that's one thing. But if it's some of the examples like I've mentioned here, like COVID in Marcus's class or something like that, like those are those are the invitation to the conversation, and listen and approach a conversation with the faith that God expects us, that when we ask to hear him, when what does the parable say? If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Lord give, you know, whether it's the Holy Spirit or whatever, to those who ask, those who need it. We need to approach a relationship from the perspective that he is a good father who does want to speak. We claim the scriptures that he is speaking. And so approach it from that perspective of, Lord, this may be you, and I want to enter into that. I want to test it. I want to approach it with faith that you do speak. And later on, we will filter it. So just don't cut off the conversation too early. Come from the perspective that you are God's friend. This is about friendship. Conversation is about friendship, right? We're shown friendship between God and humans in Scripture over and over again. Jesus says to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. It is time to embrace that friendship and then the implications of it, which include the fact that friends talk back and forth, back and forth. You are God's friend, so expect to hear him. And remember, it's a conversation. Let's pray. Lord, maybe to start where we started, I am simply in awe and so grateful for what you have done in my life and the ways that you are speaking to us. So thank you for healing. Thank you for a journey of learning to listen better. It's part of our worship, Lord, to sit in attention and wait for you because we know that you are a friend who speaks. And so, Lord, would you train us in how to do this better, how to approach it with the faith of a child, with the understanding that you are our good Father? Help us to approach it from the perspective of the scriptures with faith in them that this is actually for us, that you mean what you say, that we can expect your secret counsel, that we can expect you to share secrets, that there is going to be a conversation that happens at an intimate level because of the relationship that you have established with us, because you want us to draw closer to you and into deeper relationship. So, Lord, this is one of the ways where we want to draw near to you. And it's one of the ways where you have been drawing near to us. So, Lord, give us ears to hear. We trust you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace and open you up to his voice. Blessings, friends. Go in peace. Thanks for joining with us.